So I don't know how many of you are familiar with this story from the Old Testament. I love this story. I remember reading it in my first few years of becoming a Christian, and I remember finding it fascinating. To this day, I do. And I don't think I've ever preached from this passage. It's really an interesting story, and I know we can learn much from it. I know God wants us to learn from it. I know God is going to teach us much from it in this short time that we have together this morning. Let me give you the context, because I couldn't make the passage longer, because it was very, very long already. The whole thing is very long, so I picked a part of it. But so let me give you the context of what Darla read this morning, the context of the story. At the beginning of the chapter, you can read about the specific instructions God had given to Saul through Samuel. And these were the instructions. He was to go and attack the Amalekites and destroy every living thing there, everyone. He wasn't to take anything back, just to destroy everything. So what did he do? What did Saul do with these instructions? He did only what he liked from God's instructions. And then he expected God to be happy with it. Go figure. That's arrogance, isn't it? He did only what he liked from God's instructions, and he expected God to be happy with it. Have you ever done that? Have you ever carried out only what you liked from what God says and then developed your own vision of obedience and called it good? Good enough? I'm not killing anybody. Good enough? I'm not doing this. And we just tend to justify our disobedience. Have you ever done that? That's what Saul did. Verses 13 and 14. When Samuel reached him, as we just heard, Saul said, "The Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions." But Samuel said, "What then is this bleating of sheep in my ears?" He was supposed to kill every living thing. So Samuel is saying, what's that I hear? Bleating of sheep in my ears. What is this lowing of cattle that I hear? You see, the instructions the Lord had given Saul are found clearly at the beginning of this chapter. It was go attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death, it couldn't be more clear, men, women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys. And did he do that? No. No. Verse 20 says that he brought back Agag, their king, alive, and he allowed the soldiers to take sheep and cattle from the plunder they found there in order to do what? Well, he thought, I have a better idea. I'm sure God will love it. He likes sacrifices anyway. So bring cattle and sheep, and we're going to have a huge party. We're going to sacrifice. We're going to bring sacrifices to the Lord. He brought the king alive, and he allowed the soldiers to take sheep and cattle from the plunder in order to sacrifice them to the Lord. What do you think about that? What do you think about what he did? Well, I guess what really matters is what God thinks, right? Well, this is what God thinks. It's in verse 22. Does God delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the word of the Lord? To obey, goes on to say, is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. Interesting, huh? Did you hear that? Let me read it again. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the word of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. My friends, obedience matters to God. Let me make it clear that people in the church do the same thing today. And I'm not talking about pagans who don't obey the word of the Lord and they don't care. I'm talking about Christians within the churches today who do the same thing. They partially obey God. They pick and choose what they like, and then they justify what they don't like. And they call it good. You see, people make their own version of obedience. Examples? Sure, I'll give you examples. Don't shoot the messenger, please. Here's some examples. I know that lying is wrong, but a white lie is different than a full lie. Here's another one. I know that the root of all evils is the love of money, but I have to work hard to get more because I have so many things that I want to accomplish in life. So I will do whatever it is, leave whatever I need to do, not see my family as much or whatever it may be, because I need more money. So I'll still love my people. How about this one? I know that tithing is expected of me, but God knows I don't have enough money, so I will not tithe, and instead I will give money as I can, or I will make my own version of tithing. How about this one? I know that gossip is wrong, but if I share something to ask for prayer, it's okay. Here's a couple more. I know that sex before marriage is wrong. God condemns it. But if I fool around instead of having sex, I'm still obeying because I didn't have sex. What about this one? I know that God said that marriage is for one man and one woman, but times have changed. And what's important is that they're a committed couple. On and on, we make excuses for our partial obedience. And we expect God to be okay with that. We expect God to be happy. That's what Saul did. Let me make it clear that I'm not talking about God expecting us to walk in perfect obedience. That's not what I'm talking about. Let me make it clear that this story is about obedience versus sacrifices. This story is not about perfection of behavior, but the position of the heart towards God. You see, God is always about the heart. Always, always about the heart. And when we make mistakes, when we sin, and we are confronted with it by God or by a messenger from God, the true condition of the heart will be revealed. How are we going to react to being confronted by our partial obedience or our total disobedience? You want to see how Saul reacted to Samuel confronting him on behalf of God? Here's Saul's reaction when he was confronted with his sin of partial obedience. Verse 13, he says to Samuel, "The Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions." I don't know if he was lying to himself or he really believed this, that his partial obedience was obedience. "The Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions." And when Samuel confronted him with the sheep and the cattle he left alive, he says this in verse 15. "The soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spare the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord, your God. But we totally destroy the rest." Do you see that? He's reasoning out his disobedience, his partial obedience. And he expected God to be happy with that. Then a little bit ahead in this chapter, verse 30, which was not read, but if you read the whole chapter, you'll get the whole story. A little bit ahead in this chapter, verse 30, Saul's heart is fully exposed. Saul replied, "I have sinned, but please honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel. Come back with me so that I may worship the Lord your God." You got to be kidding me. So really what he's concerned about is how he looks in front of people, in front of his people. His heart is not tender before God. He's not saying, "Oh, I really messed up. I really disobeyed. I'm justifying my partial disobedience and calling it full obedience." He's not concerned about that. He's not saying, "Well, you know, I really thought I was doing right, or, but now tell me how to do this right." That's a heart that is right, is in the right place. When you're confronted with your sin and instead of defending or feeling offended or offensive, you go, "Okay, let me find out what I need to do. Let me find out how to do this, how to obey God fully and not partially, and how to stop justifying my partial obedience." That's not what Saul does. That's why I said, this doesn't have to do with perfection of behavior. It has to do with the attitude of the heart, especially when someone is confronted with their sin or their partial obedience, which is full disobedience. God cares about the heart because that's where he lives. That's his home. He wants to keep a clean home. He wants us to keep short accounts with him so that he can have a warm, rich fellowship with us. Saul's heart is fully exposed when he tells Samuel, "Okay, I have sinned. In my opinion, this is the way I interpret it. Okay, yeah, I have sinned, but come, make me look good in front of the people." That's what the verse says. Let me read it again. "I have sinned, but please honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel. Come back with me." Because he's a man of God. Samuel is a man of God. So he wanted him to come back with him and make it all good. You know where we can make it all good? On our knees in repentance is our salvation, one of the prophets says. In repentance, asking God, "I messed this up. I'm justifying this," or whatever it may be. "I want to know how to do it right. I want to know how to give you the best that I can with what I have. I want to stop justifying my partial obedience. Show me how, God, even if it's difficult." And then God will say, "Yes, I'll work with you." He's not going to say, "Well, you failed once. We're not working anymore." He's not so concerned about perfection of behavior, but about the attitude of the heart towards God. Saul didn't get that. And I think he didn't get it because he was so concerned about looking good, about being praised. "Please honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel. Come back with me so that I may worship the Lord your God." That's where the sin is. All he cared about is how he looked in front of his people. And the bottom of the core of the message, I should say, is in verse 1 Samuel 16:7, or 15:7, sorry. No, 16:7, the following chapter. "The Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Lots to think about. God wants us to have the heart towards Him that is pure, open, and willing, and ready to obey, and ready to be changed if needed. And let me tell you, at least mine, it's always in need of being changed, always in need of being redirected, cleaned. So let's give our hearts to God today. And let's ask God to work in our hearts whatever degree of obedience He wants to work, whatever beautiful thing He's doing in our hearts. That's what we're called in the Greek. You know that verse that says we are God's workmanship? The word is poema in Greek, which comes from poem. He is carving, writing a beautiful story, working with our hearts. And so again, God is more concerned with the heart than with perfect obedience. And if the heart is right, we will be doing more and more of the right, full obedience, and less of partial obedience, and worst, justifying it. So whatever God is speaking to you today, come to Him and tell Him, here's my heart, do in it whatever you want. Let's pray. Father, thank you that as you told Samuel when you were choosing David, the context is of this verse, and no one thought David would be chosen because he was the youngest and was out in the field not even being considered. But you considered him because you saw his heart. And you said these words, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him, talking about Saul. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And Father, you saw Saul's heart and you saw David's heart. We pray today that you will see our heart and that you will examine our hearts. See if there's any crooked ways in us. Test us and know our anxious thoughts. And guide us, Father, in the way everlasting. Take our hearts and mold it according to your perfect will for your honor and glory. This we pray in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.